Let's read together 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. In these two verses, we are warned of the danger of wrangling about words, and we're exhorted to follow the model of a workman who does not need to be ashamed. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. First of all, some background notes. Soon after Paul wrote this second letter to Timothy, he was martyred for the sake of Christ. According to reliable tradition, Paul was beheaded by the Roman authorities for the crime of being a Christian. Knowing that the end was near, Paul wrote this last letter to Timothy to encourage him and exhort him to remain steadfast and faithful as a Christian. You could say it's an encouragement as well as an exhortation. Already the Roman persecutions had begun. Already false teaching was beginning to infiltrate the church. Timothy at this time was at Ephesus, more than 1,000 miles away from Rome by ship. Timothy was helping to pastor the church there and build the church up. Meanwhile, Paul was in that dungeon in Rome. Well, here in chapter 2, there are 7 models of the faithful Christian. These models were not just for Timothy. They are for us as well. This is God's word to all of us. In the earlier part of the chapter, we saw the models of the teacher, the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer. Now in the verses before us, we have the model of the workman. In verse 14, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Who is the them of verse 14? Remind them of these things. Well, in a general sense, it is everyone in the church there at Ephesus. But in a special sense, it is those who are being affected by the false teaching. One of the characteristics of false teaching, then and today, is striving or wrangling or quibbling about words, as we see here in verse 14. This is of no profit and actually leads to tearing down the church rather than building it up. If believers follow the model of the workman, they will not be involved in useless word wrangling, but instead they will be involved in rightly dividing the word of truth. And that brings us then to our doctrinal points or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, like a workman, the faithful Christian is skilled in the use of his tools. Like a workman, the faithful Christian is skilled in the use of his tools. Verse 15 again. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I think skill is the primary idea here in the model of the workman. Suppose you hired a carpenter to do some work around your house, and you observe this carpenter, this workman, cutting some boards, and not a single board did he cut straight. Well, that carpenter should be ashamed of himself. He's not skilled in the use of his tools. Well, in the same way, like a skilled workman, the faithful Christian should be skilled in the use of his tools. Now, what's our tool? Here it is, the Bible. Are you skilled in the use of the Bible? Or do you have to be ashamed? Suppose a non-Christian were to say to you this week, I'm ready to become a Christian. I would like to become a believer. Would you know how to take your tool, the Bible, and lead that person to Christ? If not, you should be ashamed. A workman? You call yourself a Christian? You're not skilled in the use of this tool, the Bible? Have you memorized a few scriptures so that you can share with people who have questions about the faith? Scriptures where you can defend the faith. If not, you should be ashamed. The phrase here, rightly dividing the word of truth, literally means to cut it straight. The concept comes from the idea of a construction worker cutting a road straight, or a farmer cutting a straight furrow as he plows, or maybe even some other metaphor. In any case, the idea is cutting it straight. And as applied to faithful Christians, we are to rightly divide the word of truth. That is, cut it straight or handle it accurately. Suppose a non-Christian friend of yours were to get saved this week. And now they ask, well, now what do I do? And you say, well, now you want to start reading the Bible so that you can grow as a Christian. So they say, well, where shall I start? And you say, well, start anywhere. It's God's word. You can start anywhere. So they go home and they start reading the book of Leviticus. And they come to Leviticus chapter 5 and they read, if you commit sins, you're guilty. One, you confess your sins. But two, you bring a sin offering to the Lord. A lamb, a goat, or if you can't afford that, a couple of turtle doves or pigeons. So next Sunday, they show up and they're bringing a goat here to church. Now, what are you going to do? Can you rightly divide the word of truth and show them that Leviticus chapter 5, that was a requirement under the law? We are now under grace. Can you turn them to Romans 10:4 and show them that Christ is the end of the law? Can you do this? This is to rightly divide the word of truth. If we can't do this, we should be ashamed of ourselves. What kind of workmen do we call ourselves? We don't mix law and grace. Furthermore, we don't confuse the promises made to Israel in the Old Testament with what's said to the church in the New Testament. All this is part of rightly dividing the word of truth, handling accurately the word of truth. If we can't do this, we are not skilled workmen. Like a workman, the faithful Christian is skilled in the use of his tools. Doctrinal point number two. Like a workman, the faithful Christian is skilled in the use of his time. Like a workman, the faithful Christian is skilled in the use of his time. Verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. The skilled workman did not get skilled by sitting around talking about the job or looking at the job. He wisely, skillfully used his time. The command to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, or the more familiar, study to show yourselves approved unto God, means to make every effort to become a skilled workman who does not have to be ashamed. How efficiently do we use our time to become skilled workmen for the Lord? How diligent are we? How skilled are we at budgeting and managing our time? I don't know how many times I've started off with a well-intentioned daily program of reading so much scripture a day, certain amount of time for prayer, memorizing and meditating on a verse of scripture, reading at least a verse in my Greek New Testament, reading at least a few pages of a commentary. You know, you try to wisely, skillfully use your time. But what happens? Well, there's always those other things that come in. Those things might be worthy causes, but the point here is that we are commanded to be diligent, do our best, make every effort to become skilled workmen who do not have to be ashamed. And note, by the way, the bottom line here is to present ourselves approved before God, not before men. Whose approval are we really looking for? Like a workman, the faithful Christian is skilled in the use of his time. All right, practical application from these two verses. Let's not wrangle about words. Let's not wrangle about words. Verse 14, once again. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive, to wrangle, to quibble about words, to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. If Christians are following the model of the workmen and are skilled in their use of the Bible, then these Christians will not wrangle about words. Now, this verse does not mean that we shouldn't do word studies, But word wrangling is when you ignore the clear teaching of Scripture to build your case by arguing about words. You know, when I went to seminary, I remember a fellow student that got involved in word wrangling. And I'll never forget, he left seminary and he made the statement to me, "You know, I don't even know what I believe anymore." You know where it started? Word wrangling. Word wrangling was characteristic of the false teachers then, and it's characteristic of false teachers today. Let me read also in this connection 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, talking about false teachers. "He is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men, of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself." Illustration of word wrangling. The clear teaching of Scripture is that Jesus is fully God. Now the cults, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, don't believe in the full deity of our Lord Jesus. They wrangle about words to build their case. They take John 1:1, for example, which says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." They wrangle about the article there and force the verse to say, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." See, they build their case by word wrangling. Again, in Colossians 2:9, "In Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead, of deity, was pleased to dwell bodily." You couldn't say any more concisely and precisely that Jesus is fully God. But the JWs wrangle about the noun Godhead or deity there, and they change it to an adjective and translate it divine qualities to build their case. That's word wrangling. When the clear, overwhelming way to Scripture is that the Lord Jesus is fully God. Let's practice the clarity of Scripture. Let's not wrangle about words.